Well, it's good to be back. Gone the last two Sundays as my family went to go visit my wife's family, specifically out back in California. A lot of people have asked, how was the vacation? Well, we were in California. So visiting there is awesome. Living there, depending on your perspective of that. But we had a great time visiting family and having a little fun along the way. So it is good to be back. I am a bit preoccupied this morning as, you know, I realize that, this Sunday is the last Sunday for Mariah being here. And when I came here, good golly, 18 some odd years ago, Mariah was, she was annoying. She was about that big. She was in the youth group. She was rather clingy. I needed to have special talks with her on youth trips now and then. And to see what God has done in this woman is just an encouragement to God's love, His grace, His faithfulness. And so we just pray for you, Mariah, as you continue on your journey. We're going to have a lunch. It's going to be awesome. What a great journey together. Thank you. So I've been gone the last 2 weeks, which really has been awesome for me to kind of unplug and recharge a little bit. Pastor Brian has brought you through some great messages as well. We started off this series of Daniel, which I hope you have been enjoying. I've just loved this series. We started off talking about standing out, where Daniel stood out with his friends in some of the things that he was asked to do, and he stood out to look different. He wouldn't eat the food that was sacrificed by the gods of King Nebuchadnezzar. And the challenge that week was, how do we stand out in our faith? How do we take a stand in our own faith? Week two, Pastor Brian looked at stand up, in which Daniel stood up and confronted the king through this interpretation of this dream. And we learned proper ways to stand for what's right. How do you confront someone in love? You know, some of those kinds of themes as well. Last week, Pastor Brian continued with the story of Daniel, with Daniel and the lion's den, which is probably the most popular of all of the stories of Daniel, teaching us to stand up, to do what is right, to stand strong when we pray and we commit ourselves and our plans to God. Next week, Tarina is going to bring us through our final story of Daniel as we look at the standing in the firm in the fire. And so standing firm in the fire, of course, is a story of the fiery furnace in which these kids get tossed into the fiery furnace, which I just can't think of a better message for a children's message than that. But we'll be praying for you, Tarina, as you prepare for that one. In fact, she has a fiery furnace that has been constructed. It's in her office right now. So, just anyone want to see just the hat or the whole fire costume? We'll suffer through it. Full fire costume. There we go. But today we're going to look at a story from Daniel's life of how he stood in the faith. Now, I believe that today's message, of any of the messages that we've done here, that this particular message is an encouragement for those of you who are people of prayer, who have been praying and praying and praying and not seeing a result from that prayer. There are some of you that have been so faithful in your prayers. You have been calling out to God, and yet you're not seeing an answer. You're not seeing a resolution. You're not seeing the results that you're hoping to see as a result of your prayer. And it can be discouraging. It can be very difficult to stay persistent in those prayers. And today, this message is specifically for you to pray and to believe and to not see it come to pass. I know that there are people today here in our midst that are praying for their kids. That their kids maybe have been making some choices that are challenging. And as a result, things are tough and you've been praying. Some people here today have been praying for their marriages. Things aren't the way that they should be or the way that you hope that they would be. And you're praying that somehow God would heal and restore. Maybe God is doing a work in you and not doing the work in your spouse that you've been praying for, and it feels like a one-way street. And this message is for you. Some of you here have been praying for healing in your life, or healing, physical healing in the life of somebody else, and you're not seeing results from it. You're not seeing that your prayers are being answered, and this message is for you. Some people here are praying for an addiction. Some people here are praying for a way that God would break a cycle that has robbed you of so much or those that you love. Some of you here may be praying for a financial breakthrough. Things are bad. And you're looking for an opportunity at work or some hope in this situation. I want you to know that as you pray and as you pray and as you pray, this message is for you. Because you've been faithful and you've been hoping. Been hoping that your prayers would be answered, but you still wait. Today's for you. So I'm going to encourage you to grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Open up to Daniel chapter 10. You can also follow along with the YouVersion app. That's always something. We put our verses in each week on the YouVersion app, so you can just follow along if you're using a smartphone or a tablet of some sort. Otherwise, the good old print is always available. Daniel chapter 10. Now, for context, last week, when Pastor Brian looked at Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel was in about his 80s. Okay, so Daniel Lyons, then he's old in that. In our message today, Daniel is even older than that. Decade after decade after decade, Daniel has been praying and hoping that God would show up, that he would show up and do a miracle on Daniel's behalf for his people, for the people of God. It started in his teens. This is when Daniel first started praying. In fact, our very first message of this series, Daniel was in his teens, his very young teens, probably like 13 or 14 years old. And he'd been praying from that point all the way to now, decade after decade, that God would restore his people, would bring them back to their land, that he would restore the temple that was torn down and release the Jewish people from captivity. And Daniel's prayer year after year, and decade after decade, has not come to pass. That would be a tough prayer. Now, over time, there were some signs that this might happen. There seemed to be little glimmers that God was going to intervene and that these prayers would be answered. In fact, Daniel here has a dream that is so incredibly disturbing that all he can do is seek God in prayer. He's so distraught by the dream. Because the dream that Daniel has is a dream about war. The opposite of what Daniel's hoping for his people. But he dreams about war and hardship. Daniel's praying for freedom, and instead in this dream, all he sees is more of the same. So Daniel starts to pray. And Daniel prays for 21 days. 21 days of prayer. I'm not talking like he does devotions for 21 days. He prays for 21 days. This praying included fasting from all food. Okay? Pause and think about that for a moment. What'd you have for dinner 21 days ago? You can't even remember. That was the last meal. 21 days of prayer, fasting from all food. He also didn't bathe. Think of that shower you had 21 days ago and all the activities you've done since. I think you'd be sitting alone this morning. In fact, the scriptures tell us that not only did he not bathe, but there was no wearing of any fragrances. So you couldn't even mask it. You just had to be in your manly or womanly musk, whatever that might smell like. And at the end of 21 days, constant prayer, no food, no care for the outward appearance, he has a vision. And he's entertained, he's visited by an angelic being. What a cool end to this 21 days of prayer. Now, as we're going to read about this vision that Daniel has, it's assumed by many scholars, and I am a firm believer in this as well, that the being that visits Daniel is the person of Jesus Christ. Now remember, when did Jesus come into existence? Is it in Luke chapter 2 in the Christmas story, born in a manger? No, Jesus existed prior to that. That's when he came in human form, but Jesus existed before that. In fact, what was one of Jesus' main jobs in the Old Testament that we're told about? Creation. That's right. The days of creation, that's Jesus. So So the Bible tells us that Jesus always has been, because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together are God. They have always existed. And so there are points in the Old Testament where it seems like, it doesn't tell us specifically, but it seems like Jesus shows up in bodily form, in angelic form, to people along the way. So whenever this angel of the Lord shows up, many scholars say that is an image of Jesus. Now, the theological term for that is a Christophany. Okay, so you can kind of learn that word, a Christophany. And so you come across angel of the Lord, you're in a Bible study, you can just say, I think this is a Christophany. You'll sound very intelligent. But that's where Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. Now, the way that we know this is because of the description and the images of this angel of the Lord that shows up. And I think you'll clearly see that as we read the passage. That if this is not, it is certainly someone, an angelic being, that is representing in some way this powerful image of Jesus, our Lord and King. So, if it isn't a Christophany, it doesn't take anything away from the passage. I think if it is, it adds a little bit to it, but either way, it works great. So, here we go. Daniel chapter 10, let's look at verses 5 through 9. It says this, "I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen cloth with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning and his eyes flamed like torches." Okay, let's pause there for a second. Where do we see this description of Jesus in the New Testament? Revelation, exactly. If you've ever read Revelation, especially in chapter 19, ding, 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 it's that dude, okay? This is seems to be a picture, a mirror, an illustration of the King Jesus. Let's go on. It says, "His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. And only I, Daniel, saw this vision." Okay, pause there for a second. I believe that there are points in time in which God shows up in a miraculous way to you personally. A vision that only you see. A vision that is tailor-made just for you. And I don't know if you've been, maybe it, you know, it hasn't been as dramatic as this, but there have been times where you have sensed God moving you in a direction or asking you to make a change or to do something different, and it's fearful. You feel scared. You're not sure of the next steps, but there's this sense that you have, and it seems like it's affirmed in other ways as people talk and as you interact with others and as you read the scriptures and you hear songs on the radio. It just seems like God seems to be pointing you in a direction. Sometimes a vision is just for you. Sometimes they're corporate. Where we're all together, we see a vision of what God wants to do in and through us as a church, and we, you know, rally around that. And other times it's specific for you. A preferred future. Something that needs to be done. And it's personalized for you. Continue on. It says, "The men with me saw nothing," because it was personalized for Daniel. "But they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide." So they still had some sense of what was happening, but didn't see this vision. He says, "So I was left there alone to see this amazing vision," because they all ran away. "My strength left me, and my face grew dimly pale, and I felt very weak. And then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground." I believe that in the life of a believer, there are times that you are going to encounter the power of God in a very personal way. And at that moment, the moment that you experience His mighty power, it's a way that is different. The experience of experiencing God's power is different than at other times in your journey. That there are times it is so profound, it is so heavy upon you, it is so clear in your mind, regardless of what other people have seen or experienced in that moment. And I believe that in those moments, God gives you energy and stamina to do things you could never do on your own, to minister in certain ways, to have a conversation with someone. You leave that conversation, you say, "My goodness, I was not present. That was God working through me." Or to have energy to minister, to love, to teach, whatever it might be, in which God shows up. And I believe that in those moments, when they're done, you will have a level of exhaustion that is different than any kind of exhaustion physically you can feel, as God's power works in and through you, and when that process is done, the drain that you feel afterwards. In fact, fact, if you're following along on page 6 of your bulletin, your first fill-in would be this: the strongest of men cannot bear the weight of the glory of God. I don't care how strong you are, the strongest of men cannot bear the weight of the glory of God. Now I want to share something with you this morning that I have never shared before publicly. It's been something that over many years I have just kept privately to myself. I've shared with my wife years ago when this event first took place for me, but it's just not something that I've shared. And I just felt compelled as I was looking at kind of this idea of this power of God that was upon Daniel and the weakness that he felt afterwards, that this story just kept rattling in my mind. And as I was writing this message, I just kept discarding it. And I said, okay, God, if this is one of those moments where you want me to share something that I previously had preferred to just keep to myself, I'm willing to do this. But it happened many years ago. It happened as I sat alone on a hill in North Dakota. Believe it or not, God shows up in North Dakota. Amen. That's right. I was on a hill and I was looking north, and I was at a place called Crystal Springs Baptist Camp. I was getting ready to direct a high school camp. Hundreds of high schoolers were about to show up in a couple of days. I went early because I was feeling so empty inside. I knew I couldn't survive the week, that I did not have the energy and strength within me to do it. And so I sat alone on the top of this hill, and as what happens there in North Dakota regularly, especially around Crystal Springs, from my experience, because that's where I've spent my most time in North Dakota, a thunderstorm developed. But it was way off in the north. And I tell you, until you have seen a thunderstorm north of Crystal Springs, you have not seen a thunderstorm. I mean, we're talking a kind of lightning that's like strobe lights. And you can see it so clearly as it kind of comes towards you. It is the most awe-inspiring, powerful vision. As I sat on that hill, and you could hear it come in the distance, and slowly it kind of came towards me. And I was empty. And I was praying. I was in realization at that moment that I had neglected my own soul in the busyness of ministry. I have learned that that is my Achilles heel, and that's something I still struggle with to this day. Doing and forgetting about my own soul in the process. And as night came and that storm continued brewing, that lightning strobing out there in the north, I sat and I watched. I don't know if it was the storm, but I could just sense God's presence with me. All alone in that little cabin, as I actually was sitting outside the front door at that point, as long as I could, and I could just sense God's presence with me. In fact, it became so real and so powerful at that moment, that as I had closed my eyes in prayer, I became aware that I couldn't open my eyes. I was down on two knees. I was bending down, putting my elbows on the floor, and I felt like this weight, like literally someone was stepping on me, pressing me to the floor. And I felt okay with it, but I was perplexed, kind of almost like an out-of-body experience, which I wasn't having, but I just mean like looking at myself, wondering why I was feeling what I was feeling. Why couldn't I open my eyes? Why couldn't I get up off the floor? And I would say, my best estimation, this might have lasted for 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. And as that passed, I felt compelled to write. And I had this journal with me. And I didn't know what to write, so I just opened up. It was a new journal for me. It was just the first couple of pages, and I started to write. And again, for me, this was more of a supernatural experience, because as my pen wrote on the pages, I wasn't connected deeply with the words I was writing. I was just writing as I felt kind of led, whatever it was. And it wasn't until I got to the very end, and I wrote the last three letters, that it kind of hit me what I felt had taken place. Because the last three letters were G-O-D at the end of my journal entry. And I have come back to this page many times. Because for me, this journal entry was a letter from God to me. I figured I'd share it with you this morning. Dearest Doug, I love you in a very deep and consuming way. I created you all of you, and selected every part. Your life was given to you for a purpose. It's important that you live out that purpose. Each person has a purpose, and the plan in your life is for the benefit of others, as well as theirs is for you. Live your life worthy of that calling. You do a good job of being known, but work hard at knowing others. Do less so that you can do more. Be more than you do. Think of what happens today and balance that with what you will leave behind. Take time to love. Listen to the story I'm writing in others, as it is part of your story too. I am up to something in you. Bless your children. Hug them more. Spend meaningful time with them. Be an earthly example of me to them. Love Jenny sacrificially. I love you and your flaws. I don't count them against you. And I don't count hers against her. You are my plan for her. Love my church. She suffers to be faithful. Help her love me purely, and help her point the world to me. When it all gets boiled down, how did you do it loving others? Remember, you are never alone. I'm with you always. My love for you is perfect, and it will never die. Don't worry about pleasing people. Love them instead. I love you. So, are those the delusions of a youth pastor? Are those the fabrications of a desperate man in a desperate moment? I know that for me, that when I finished writing that letter, I did not know that I had written a letter. Obviously, I knew that I was connecting pen to paper. I knew I was forming words. I was conscious of the fact. But I just wasn't aware of what the end result was going to be until it was completed. That's God's letter to me. I've never been as tired as I was after that event, writing that journal entry. I'd say that the man that went down on the floor in desperation was a different man than the one that stood with a word from the Lord. That moment changed me. I've carried that moment with me all my years. It reminds me in my time of weakness that God is with me and He is powerful and strong. Because the strongest of men cannot bear the weight of the glory of God. So I want to jump into three things that I'd like to give you today. Applications is how you can stand in faith when you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you don't see things change. The first one is this. God cares about you more than you do. Okay? God cares about you more than you care about you. And in our world today, that's pretty impressive. He loves you. He cares about you more than you care about you. Daniel 10:10, Daniel goes, he says, Then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling, to my hands and knees. I think no matter where you've been, no matter what you have done, no matter how you have wandered off track or getting lost in the world, God never has lost sight of you. He continues to call out to you no matter where you have been. And He continues to send signs along the way to call you back to Him. That's our great hope for those that walk away. It's our great hope in our own lives for those moments where we may be weak or we may step away from God's plan and hope for us. In your deepest need, God never abandoned you. In your deepest need today, God is present. He does not condemn you, but He reaches out His hand and He lifts you. And today I want you to know that He is lifting you. He is reaching to you. And He is saying the same thing to you that He said to Daniel. What was that? Verse 11. And the man said to me, Daniel, you're very precious to God. You have to hear this today. You may be trying to convince yourself otherwise, but the truth is that God cares about you more than you know. Satan will tell you and tells me often that God does not care, and he has all his examples to prove how God does not care. But God cares, and God cares deeply as a mother cares for her child. You are his, and he will never forsake you. The proof? You're here today, and God has brought you here today to hear something. So let me speak God's words to you today. You are very precious to God. If there's something in you that resists that, no, that doesn't come from him. You are very precious to God. And because you're precious, he has this to say as it continues on in Daniel 11. We'll reread that first part. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. We need to remember that God cares about us more than we do. But secondly, God is doing more than you understand. There's more that he's up to. There's obviously more happening than what you see with your own eyes. I think we understand that. And Daniel, the next verse verse 12, it says, and then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I come in answer to your prayer. When Daniel started praying the 21 days, at what point did God hear Daniel's prayer? When? Day one. 21 days later, the angel shows up. That's a lot of prayer in between. That's a lot of fasting. That's a lot of not taking a shower. And God heard the prayer on day one. And if you think God hasn't heard your prayer, he heard it on day one. It was not lost to him. He is fully engaged. He hears your prayer. You may feel like God has not heard you, but he has. Because you've been praying so long and there's been no results and you wonder. But God has heard you, and it started that very first day. It has not fallen on deaf ears. But there are things happening in this world that you do not see. There are ways that he is orchestrating things. There are reasons and purposes that he knows for the way that things go, and he knows what's best. Sometimes the answers are right there, and we need to fully grab and take a hold of those answers. Other times, there are supernatural events, maybe, that our eyes can't comprehend. In fact, look at the very next verse, in verse 13. Daniel says this, but for 21 days... This really gets cryptic and kind of kooky here. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Who? The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. All right. He said, then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Okay, remember this. It's been 21 days since Daniel's eaten. So, 21 days, and there's this spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Anyone know who that is? Anyone ever met him? The Bible refers to him in multiple other passages in the Old Testament. This is Satan. Okay? This is a kind of a code word for demonic influence and power, Satan himself. So, during the 21 days of Daniel's prayer and fasting, basically, for 21 days, God is battling evil forces. Daniel's prayer, day one, was a call to action. There was something to fight for. There was now good versus evil. His prayer, his honest, his heartfelt, his faithful prayer started the battle. The prince of Persia shows up, Satan himself, to thwart this thing. It's like, you know, Daniel, I'm going to mess you up. Your will, your prayers, your hopes dashed. And so God sends someone along the way, Rambo, better known as the Michael the Archangel. Okay, like, I want you to picture, is it Rambo for you? Who's the tough guy for you? Don't make it Steven Seagal. It is not that. Clint Eastwood? Sure. Dirty Harry? Yeah. Okay, this is what the don't think of the Archangel Michael. He has no harp. If he has a harp, he hits people with it. He's the commander of the army. He's the head honcho. He is the toughest dude in the ranks. The Bible tells us that like he can bench like 2 million pounds. It doesn't say that, but I think he does. He's tough, okay? And God calls on Michael the Archangel, and Michael the Archangel and Satan himself go to battle for 21 days. Every day as Daniel prays. And you don't think God's been hearing your prayer? You have no idea what's happening in the heavenly realms over your heartfelt desire, your worn-out knees, your continued persistence in prayer. And that's why the Bible says over and over again, do not give up on your prayer. Continue to pray. Be persistent. Pray often. Pray always. Because as you pray, the heavens unleash a war. It's powerful. Prayer is powerful. When you're praying for things that are deep within you, when you call out to God in that persistent way, Satan desperately wants to thwart those efforts. Satan wants you to give up, and he will help you give up. He will give you all kinds of reasons to give up. Doubt is a big one. Laziness is another. A sense that what you're doing doesn't really matter in the big picture. A sense of hopelessness as the situation doesn't change. He wants you to give up, but I want you to stand up, and I want you to be strong in your prayer because the armies of heaven are doing battle on behalf, and God will be victorious. Amen? Amen. I'll never forget the time that Jenny and I were battling or struggling with the idea of tithing. I want you to know that the idea of tithing, this is like one of the last spiritual, mature things that we do as followers of Christ. To stop all the arguments and the debate and just say, look, whatever I get, 10% of that I'm going to give back to God. Everybody likes to argue it, not for heartfelt reasons, but just because they just don't want to do it. And we were struggling with this. And when we decided to finally submit to a tithe, we were kind of working our way up to it, and then bills would come, and we'd back down. We finally said, we're doing this. We're just committed to this. And we kind of held hands. We did our bills, and we wrote that check to the church. It was like the biggest check we ever wrote to the church, and we sent it off. And wouldn't you know, we had a breakdown. Something happened in the house that needed to be repaired. And we could have paid for that repair, but we couldn't because we wrote the church a check. Oops. It hadn't been cashed yet. I wondered what the church might think if we did a stop payment. How do you call up your church, you know? Hey, there's a check coming to you. Can you hang on to that? No, what was done was done. I felt foolish. I felt like we were kind of stupid in the process. One day later, after the breakdown, I went to the mailbox, and we pulled out a check that came from our insurance company. And we had some weird thing in the way that we paid our insurance, and at the end of the fiscal year of that insurance, whatever it was, we had paid more, I guess, than what we were supposed to. Anyways, the repair, I remember, was $176, and we opened up the check from the insurance company for $176. It was just a coincidence. You see, when we decided to be faithful, we didn't know what God already had in the works, but the check was already in the mail. Mine was in the mail, and God's was in the mail. I can't guarantee that's going to happen to you like it happened to me, because there's been plenty of other times I write my tithe check and I can't make it at the end of the month. It happens. But there was a faithfulness there, commitment to following God and trusting Him along the way. And obviously, His faithfulness has been good because I still stand before you today. It's not easy. But the answer is on the way for you. There's a story in the Old Testament about Moses. And he's praying, and there's a battle happening. And as he raises his arms in prayer, know what happens? The Israelites are kicking butt. And then when his arms get tired, and he's like, man, this is hard to hold my arms up. Then what happens? Israelites start getting defeated. Oh. Your prayer, your persistence, your hands up, the energy to continue praying through the difficulties and through the struggles, God shows up. God loves us. And He cares about you and He cares about me more than we do. Don't give up in your prayers. The final application piece that I want to give to you today is the third one. God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says this again and again in the New Testament, that there's this spiritual truth that when you feel that you're good at something, that you're capable, that you know, I've got this thing handled, you tend to leave God out of it because, you know, you've got it. But when you can't do something, you feel inadequate, underqualified, those are the moments that you tend to call out to God. And it's in those moments that God's strength takes over. If I have ever given a good sermon, it is not because of my abilities, but because of what God can and do through anyone that gives himself to Him. Because it's in my weakness that He's strong. So I want to encourage you to embrace your weakness as I too have to embrace my weakness. For when you embrace your weakness, there is a God that shows up, and He does things that are even supernatural. Things that you could have never done on your own through your submission to Him. In fact, look what Daniel had to say to God. In verse 17, he says, "How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." I believe this is how many of us feel. The weight of the issues that we've been praying for has nearly crushed us. But I want you to know that it is in this weakness that God will strengthen you. God has not forgotten you. He has heard your prayer from the moment you first prayed it. He's here for you now. And trust that the check is in the mail. You can trust Him today because He's already provided. He goes on, say, "Then the one who looked like a man touched me again, and I felt my strength returning." You see, one touch and your strength returns. One touch from Jesus and everything will change for you. I want to encourage you today, believe. And in the last verse we're going to look at, verse 19, Daniel says, the angel of the Lord, Jesus Himself, "Don't be afraid," he said, "for you are very precious to God," reminding him again, "Peace, be encouraged, be strong." And as he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger, and I said to him, "Please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me." Today is your day. It is time to pray for the things that you need to pray for. Today is day one. Okay? Day one today. Let's start a prayer. Let's you start a prayer. And let's get Michael the Archangel dressed for battle. And let's whoop some butt. Okay? Anything in your life need prayer? Anything? Why aren't you praying for it? Start today. Day one. And how many days will it take? Maybe 21. Maybe two. Maybe 21 years. But start today. Today, I want to challenge you in a very real way. to open up maybe your Bible and mark in your Bible day one and write out what that prayer is. Today is day one. The day that you begin to trust God in your weakness and begin your spiritual 21-day journey. To commit to praying and to look for the miracle that will happen as a heavenly battle rages above you. Today is day one that you will start a war with Rambo the Archangel and kick some demon butt. But it only happens if today is day one. Here's my challenge to you. Start a 21-day prayer. Commit to just 21 days. You can pray. You can fast. You can fast from a food group. You can fast from all food if you want. Fast from something. Maybe it's television you'll fast from, or something else. Something that you will take away so that every time that suffering and that pain comes to you, that reminds you, I want to do this thing I'm not doing, it reminds you it's time to pray. That the urges, that's why we fast. We don't fast because somehow by not eating, God says, oh, you didn't eat, so I'm going to bless your prayer. It's the not eating and the pain that comes that reminds you to continue to pray. 21 days, every one of you that has something to pray for, and if that's not you, you're weird. And maybe not in touch with things. Every one of us, 21 days to pray. When is that? November 12th. 21 days is up. From now until November 12th that you would pray. Pray on your own. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. Pray with an accountability partner, with a small group, whatever it might be, but pray. So for this challenge, if you want to do this, I'm going to invite you to come up as we close a song here. And I've got a sheet of paper here that says 21 days of prayer, in case you come up here and you're confused on what this is. 21 days of prayer. And then on here, you would put your name and your email and your phone number. And if you do that, then I will invite you to a private closed Facebook group called 21 Days of Prayer. And you can journal there. I'll put some encouraging words there, maybe not every day. Others will. Maybe you're struggling with something. Others in that group can encourage you. We can strengthen each other through this and push each other through our 21 days of prayer. But if you want to take it seriously, and this would be a helpful step of accountability for you, put your name on there. Later today, you'll get an invite to me, and you can join and be a part of that group. But I need your name and your email and your phone number on there as well. And you have to do it legibly, otherwise it doesn't count. I know Brian's. Look. I would say God is up to something. But even more so this morning, God wants to be up to something. Will you let Him? He's calling out. He's reaching out. He's been pleading. There's stuff that's messed up everywhere in this world. And He said, if my people will stand and will pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then we'll hear from heaven and heal them. What's at risk? That God won't show up? He will. 21 days. I'm going to ask that you just stand right now as Jacob and the team leads us in this song. If you feel compelled to join in this way for this kind of accountability, you can certainly do it other ways as well. I invite you to come up and fill out your information on this as we sing together.